for that song. Happy Sabbath. You hear me all right? I think Scott is. Happy Sabbath. Amen. It is great to see each and every one of you here this morning. For some of you, you are here every week, and we're so glad that you are. And others of you, this could be your first Sabbath here. You could be passing through town. And so welcome to the house of the Lord. And my wife and I are very delighted, and not just myself and her, but I believe the church family is also delighted to welcome Melanie and Julian here today. And thankful that you've joined our family, and because of that, the church family as well. So welcome, guys. I'd like to remind you that today at 4 p.m., we have an awesome seminar on how we can learn how to study the Bible for me. How to study the Bible for myself so that I'm able to know how to use the Bible and feed myself to the max every single day. And so that'll be here at 4 o'clock. So please put that on your agenda. You'll be greatly blessed. As we get into the Word of God, let us bow our heads. Most loving and gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your goodness towards your children. I thank you because yet today you are wanting to do great things. And not only is that your desire, but you do great things. And so we ask that you will feed your children through your word and through your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. The God of the impossible. Let me tell you, I have waited all week to share this message with you because the Lord has put this on my heart. I was going to continue on the series on temptation, and we'll continue that next week. But God said, no, you need to go here. And as you're hearing that title, maybe you're thinking, well, that's very nice, Pastor, but you don't know my impossibilities. Not only do you not know my situation, we could be thinking, but maybe you're not even acting. And we start feeling that way because we hurt. And as I look at our flock here, it's so interesting because what's in the heart is reflected on the face. If there's pain inside, the smile only gets so high. But if there's healing, it's like that smile just keeps on going up. If there's discouragement, it doesn't matter how many people greet you, it just seems like that discouragement is with you wherever you go. And so I'd like to say that nobody here ever has gone through a hard situation, but the truth is we have all gone through painful and sad chapters. In fact, you could be in a very hard moment right now. The Bible says in 1 Chronicles 29:15, for we are aliens. The truth is this world is not our home. So if it feels like it's a hard life, well, that's good news. Why? Because actually our home is much further way up north. And it's not Canada, no offense for Canadians. But it's up in glory. So if you're going through a hard time, it's because we don't belong to be in this suffering per se. And the Bible says that we're pilgrims before you, as were all our fathers. All our days on earth are as a shadow and without hope. That's how the Bible describes our current situation Maybe you could feel very much like that as well. The question is, do you have hope? In what you are in right now, do you have hope? Or do you feel like, let me just wave that white flag a little higher, because man, I feel like it's so over. What is hope? Dictionarily wise, it's a desire of some good accompanied with at least a slight expectation of obtaining it, or belief that it is obtainable. Also, another definition would be confidence in a future event, or an opinion or belief not amounting to certainty, but grounded in substantial evidence. You know, there's substantial evidence that maybe the weatherman could be right. Maybe not that big. Confidence. In Spanish, confidence sounds like this. Confianza. What is confidence? Confidence is, at least if you break down that compound word, confidence, it means with faith. And the opposite is not too good. Without faith. And I praise God that you're here, because you're here with faith. You're here by faith, believing that God is going to do something in your life today. Amen. Confidence is being certain that something will happen or that something is true. I recognize these people. I remember when I saw my wife for the very first time in person. You see, we met through mutual friends online, and we had communicated, we had talked on the phone, emails, video chatted, and one day I went to go meet her. But before I got on the plane to go meet her, I knew that even though we hadn't started dating yet, I knew that she was going to be my wife. And that's a story in itself. And I'll have to share that another time. But one of the things that my wife tells me that she remembers that first time she saw me in person, she said, "You walked with confidence." Because confidence affects everything. I was walking like this. I know where I'm going. I know what's about to happen, and I know what's coming. There is confidence. It wasn't this. No, it wasn't that. It was confidence. I know what's about to happen, so I'm not worrying. I'm moving straight ahead. You see, my wife was one who used to say, "I'm never going to get married." And you know, we live in a world of nevers. I'm never going to get married. I'm never going to have kids. I'm never going to do this. I'm never going to do that. But we have a God of the what? Of the impossible. That's right, Julian. That's an impossibility made possible. Now, this is the what? The confidence. I don't know what's up with my mic this morning. Now, this is the confidence that we have in who? In Him. That if we ask anything, that's like praying, according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. We have the confidence to know that when we pray, it doesn't stop here, but it goes way up into heaven. Our Father hears. Our Father acts according to His will when we pray. Do you believe that? Why do some people have hope and others don't?
I mean, some people, they look like they have hope, and other people, it doesn't matter how much money you pay them, they don't have hope.
Psalms 42, verse 5 says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me?" Hope in who? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. You see, today is a day to praise God. And if tomorrow we have another day of life, tomorrow's a day to praise God. And every day thereafter, regardless of the situation. You see, it's time we start praising God for our problems. Because it is in those storms of life, like Job said, doesn't matter what happens to me, I'm going to praise God. I may lose all my riches, I may lose all my kids, but I will still praise him, period. For I shall yet praise him for the help of his what? What does the Bible say? Countenance. What is countenance? It's our face. It's what we see right here. You see, God wants to help us. And this help comes from his face. Isn't that beautiful? Look what the Bible says. Have you seen Jesus' face? I mean, we have pictures trying to describe what Jesus looked like, but we don't need pictures to see Jesus' face. Psalms 38:15, the Bible says, "For in you, O Lord, I hope, you will hear, O Lord my God." We see Jesus' face when we pray. So glad we have that thing on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. What's that called? Oh, that's right. Prayer meeting. I encourage you to come to prayer meeting. Psalms 119, verse 116, the Bible says, "Uphold me according to your word, that I may live, and do not let me be ashamed of my hope." You see, I see Jesus' face in his word. And when we're in his word, we will not be ashamed of this hope. The Bible continues to say, Psalms 130, verse 7, "O Israel, hope in the Lord, for in the Lord there is what? Mercy." Is somebody needing mercy today? Or is that just me? I need the mercy of God. And with him is what kind of redemption? I reckon that must be a lot. Abundant redemption. You see, the devil may have been beating you up this week thinking that you're the worst sinner in the world. No, in fact, that's the devil. The devil's the worst sinner in the world. But no, you're not the worst sinner in the world. And in Jesus, there isn't just redemption. There's abundant redemption. Is that what you're wanting today? That's what I want. Hope is invisible, but yet very, very visible. Hope affects everything you do. Where does hope come from? We started to talk about it. Psalms 39, verse 7, "For in you, O Lord, I hope, you will hear." It sounds very much like the verse we just finished taking a look at. And it's as if David said, you know what? I can't just write it once. I need to write it twice. And if you let me, I'll write it thrice. Because only in Jesus will you find hope. We start putting hope in people. And then we got frustrated because they let us down. Well, guess what? They're a human just like you and I. But there is someone who never, ever lets us down. That's Jesus. Hope. "You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word." You see, when I read God's word and believe what it says and hope in what it says, now I'm able to move forward.
Now the decisions I make are in consistency with the word of God. Psalms 119, verse 166, Lord, I hope for your salvation, and I do what? I do your commandments. You see, if my hope is in God, I should have the assurance of his salvation. Amen? And since I have his assurance of salvation, now the natural thing I want to do is obey him. You see, the things I do for my wife at home is because I love her. And the things she does for me at home is because I love her. And the things that her and I do for the little ones is because we love them. We don't do those things so that I don't do those things so that she can be my wife. She doesn't do those things so she can be. You know what I meant. The important thing is that I know what I meant. I didn't do those things for her to be her husband, and she didn't do those things for me so that she can be my wife, and we didn't do those things for them so that they can be our children, but we do them because they are. Now that it's straight here. There was a time in which my wife and I lived in San Jose, California, and I pastored in the San Jose Central Church. And rent in the Bay Area is no small matter. In fact, it keeps on skyrocketing, even when we were there. And we were living in this teeny apartment, and let me tell you, they had a security deposit that was just not nice. And rent was getting just too high, and we needed to make some decisions of where we're going to be living. And so as we were making those decisions, now started operation, get me my security deposit back. And the story amongst the tenants is, you know, in this apartment complex, you can just kiss that security deposit goodbye because they don't give anything back. They're just so nitpicky at every little detail. And we had painted our apartment. And we not only needed to clean it, we needed to paint it back to exactly the same way we had received it. And the tenants were confident. Security deposit, bye-bye. We worked, we cleaned, we worked, we moved, and guess what we got a couple weeks later in the mail? Security deposit in its entirety. Every last penny. You see, if I started thinking, you know what, yeah, there's no way I'm going to finish painting this, and you know, those stains are never going to come out. You think that would have affected the work I would do? Yeah. I would have been defeated even before I started. But the hope that we have in God affects how we move forward. How long am I supposed to have hope? Or is it just for today? Is it just for Thanksgiving season? How long am I supposed to have hope? The Bible says, for what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of who? Of our Lord Jesus Christ, when? At his coming. You see, we are to have hope in God until we see him come back. We're not to just have hope to get over this mountain in life. No, we're to have hope climbing this mountain, going down the valley, up the next mountain, until we see Jesus face to face. Does God want to give me hope? Because you know what, Pastor? You look like you got some hope there, but maybe me? I'm not too sure God wants to give me hope. What does the Bible say? Jeremiah 29:11, you know it well. For I know, God says, the thoughts I think towards you,
says the Lord. Thoughts of what? And not of evil, to give you a future and a doubt? A hope. God knows the plans he has for you. He's not forgotten you. In fact, he's only started to work in your heart and my heart too. He has a hope. He has a hope for you. And if God, the God of the impossible, has a hope for you, I reckon that must be a mighty good and big hope. Romans 15, verse 4 says, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have what? Hope. So let's see what that looks like. So if this book is in my library and is like this, and dust starts accumulating, then do I have a lot of hope or kind of not so strong hope? Well, the truth is, my hope is affected by my time in the Word because I gather my hope from the Word. So if there ever was a time to come to How to Study Your Bible seminar at 4 p.m. today, it would be now. It would be today, and doing our Bible homework every single day, at least 20 minutes in the Word of God. But what difference does it make if I have hope or not? You think it makes a difference? The Bible says. Now hope does not what? Did your coworker let you down this week? Praise the Lord. Did your spouse let you down this week? Hallelujah. Did somebody cut you off on the freeway? Bless their soul. They will disappoint. He does not disappoint. Your hope in God does not disappoint. The Bible says, because the love of God has been poured in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Little Julian's favorite song is Into My Heart. Love singing that song. Every time we have worship, he says, can we sing Into My Heart? The Holy Spirit is poured into our hearts. And let me tell you, he can't sing that song with a frown. He smiles. He brightens up because Jesus is in his heart. And believing that he is in his heart makes all the difference for Julian. The Bible says, sad is he who has the God of Jacob. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. If there ever was a people to be happy, it should be us. Amen. Because we believe and hope in God. Amen? Amen. There's always hope. Amen. I don't care what you are in right now. There is hope. Amen. With Jesus. We have nothing, and nothing is what? That's nothing, huh? We have nothing to fear for the future, except as we shall forget the way the Lord has led us and his teaching in our past history. Nothing. Nothing to fear. The Christian walks like some Pastor Tony at an airport seeing his wife to be. Confidence. I didn't take that picture because of the two good-looking people in it. Not that I'm biased. But actually because of what's behind. I was telling you that rent in San Jose was expensive. And I do the finances in Team Rodriguez. And I was doing numbers, and, you know, I remember when Elder Jerry Page interviewed me to receive a call to the Central California Conference. And he asked me, how do you feel about pastoring in the Bay Area with such high cost of living? And I said, if that's where God wants me to be, then who am I to argue? That's his business. Because the last time I checked, it's a good thing to go where God wants you to go, as I stayed away from the shore, as someone got swallowed by a fish. And so there we were living in San Jose. I'm doing numbers and I'm realizing, you know, we're many shekels short basically every month. And it's not like we're living anything close to extravagance, but it's more like survival. And so I just got a letter that rent is actually going up this next lease by at least $100. And so, God, is this where you want us? And so I started to pray. Not just pray, but unbeknownst to my wife, I said, God, your word says, test me. Test me now in this. We were already being faithful in our tithes and offerings. But the Bible says, test me. So I said, okay, God, I'm going to bump it up. I know we're living on Jesus Christ and beans and rice, but your word says, test me. Because 2 + 2 = 4, correct? What about 2 - 2? That should be 0. Correct? And so when we give more to God and we're already struggling, at least humanly speaking, we should think we're going to be more in a rut. We're going to be in a dire situation. And so I took a step of faith. I said, God, here it is. You said, test me. So I expect you to come through. My wife and I would walk around the neighborhood of the apartment complex. And I started looking for other housing. And it was right at that time that we were given a sister church in Gilroy. It was great because every night it smelled like there was a cookout with all the garlic. And so we go to our first Sabbath at Gilroy Church. I preach. There's a prayer women's group that met after church. And the lady who was leading out asked, is there any prayer requests? And my wife said, yeah, pray for our housing. We need to find some affordable housing. They prayed for it. They finished their session. She comes to my wife. She says, let me talk to my husband. And my wife was like, well, okay, whatever that means. And so my wife tells me, I said, oh, I wonder what that means. And we come to prayer meeting in the midst of the week. And that sister from church, she says, I spoke to my husband, and we'd be willing to rent out our house to you. I said, well, praise the Lord. We'd like to see what your house looks like and see if that meets our needs. We made an appointment. But before we went to the appointment, I Googled the address just to have an idea of what it might look like. And it was a nice little country ranch house. And I said, you know what? If the price is right, I don't mind living in the country. And so I called her up. I said, you know what? This time isn't going to work for us, but can we reschedule to this time? She said, yes. And I said, and is the address in the church directory, is that the address of the property that you're willing to rent out to us? And she said, oh, no, that address in the directory is actually where we're going to be living, but actually the house that we want to rent to you, it's in town. So she gave me the address, and I Googled it, and I told my wife, we're not living there. She's like, what do you mean we're not living there? And I said, look, and I showed her the screen, and I said, we're not living there. We cannot afford that big of a house. That's just a small view of the house. But we were praying, and my wife and I prayed differently. I told you that we'd walk around the neighborhood, and we'd be praying. And my wife would pray, God, we're walking in the neighborhood, and there's these pretty houses here. And I know we'll never live in a nice, pretty house, but all the street names, God, they have names of flowers. So could you make it possible that the next place we live has a street name of a flower? That's my wife's prayer. I, on the other hand, was praying, God, this is the amount that we can afford. This is it, God. So if you want us to live there, it has to be this number, or else our finances don't work. And so the day came to go see the house. And we drove by it on purpose so that we can pray in the car. And she said, honey, what should I do? I said, baby, don't say a word. I'll do all the talking. So we ring the doorbell. We go in, and she wants to show us the house. And what a painful experience that was. It was painful because we're walking through a house that we know we're not going to live in. And she's like, oh, let me show you this room. I'm like, oh, we don't need to see that. Let me show you this over here. Oh, no, please, no. And she introduces us to her husband in the living room, and we sit down, and I cut to the chase. I said, well, what are you asking? And she says, not a penny more, nor a penny less of what I had asked God. And the street name just happened to be Magnolia Way. Test me, God says. Other people are gonna let you down. Don't depend on them. Depend on God. Is it necessary to have hope? Well, let me tell you, the Bible says, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, check this out. Now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this what? Hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. You believe Jesus is coming back? That changes you. You don't believe he's coming back? That degrades us. What occurs when you do have hope? Well, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, 1 Peter 3:15. See, when you got hope, people start asking you, where'd you get that from? Why are you so happy? Why is it that this problem and that problem comes your way, but yet yours, you just keep on trucking. You keep on moving forward. And people want to say, can I have some of that? Someday, Jesus is coming soon. Someday soon. This is the hope that we have. It's a blessed hope. It's the blessed hope. Wouldn't you like to have hope today? And if you have it, would you like to have some more hope? looking. Are you still looking? Or is it more like, you know what, that hope of Jesus' second coming, no, still look, for he's coming. And the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special work, special people, zealous for good works. Don't stop looking. Don't stop believing. We sing, we have this hope. Does it still burn within your heart? Hope in what? Hope in the coming of the Lord. We, you see, we is a big word that implies a lot of people. See, we is not me and we is not you. We is us. We have this faith. That Christ alone imparts faith in the promise of his in his of his word. We believe the time is when here, when the nations far and near shall awake and shout and sing, hallelujah, Christ is King. We have this hope that burns within our hearts, hope in the coming of the Lord. Don't let that be past tense. It's present tense. My wife told me, my dad is one who used to know God. You see, I went and met my in-laws to be without my wife to be. I showed up on their door. I said, Mr. and Mrs. Reese, I'm Tony Rodriguez, and I need to let you know I'm not a prophet nor the son of a prophet, but there are going to be some wedding bells sometime soon. I just thought I'd let you know. That is how I met them. I had the confidence. I had the faith and the hope. Who's my wife? Oh, that's right. She's over there. And she said, when you go meet them, my dad, he's not in the church, and he's been out of the church for 20 years, and he wants nothing to do with God. I told her, I'm going to baptize your father. She said, you know, that's wishful thinking. That's nice of you. That's noble of you. I said, no, he's going down. It's just a matter of time. This brother was church treasurer in the last nominating committee report. You see, we have this. We have this hope that burns within our heart of Jesus' second coming. But my question is, do they have this same hope? Today, my wife and I are here with two very special little ones. That may not have had much hope. I'm not saying you have to go and do likewise as we have done. But my question is, how are we going to be used by God to give those who have no hope, hope? Who are you going to give hope to? Who am I going to give hope to? Because if not, they could perish for eternity. And that should bother us. It bothers me. Soon Jesus will come. Soon Jesus will come, and those who have waited for him will receive him in all of his glory. Those who have this hope. Who are we going to give hope to, friends? I leave you that hot potato, and I hope it's very hot. Because today, Jesus not only wants to revive your hope and my hope, he wants that hope to infiltrate all of Roseburg. It will happen through you, and it will happen through me as we look at his face. I am excited when I get the chance to tell others of the God of our impossibilities. God is not going to lead us halfway. He's going to lead us all the way. My Savior leads me. If that is what your desire is, to be led by God all the way and to lead others to Jesus, I'd like to invite you to stand as we sing our closing hymn, 516, All the Way.